Today is Thursday, December 2nd. What to know about the first confirmed case of the Omicron variant in the U.S., including the patient's travel history and vaccination status. Also, actor Alec Baldwin says he never pulled the trigger in the deadly shooting on a movie set. So, what happened? Plus, Major League Baseball's first work stoppage in more than 26 years. Which politician is running for a position she famously lost already? And 2021's People of the Year. You probably know at least one of them personally. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. The new Omicron variant of COVID-19 that's been getting the attention of health experts around the world has now been confirmed here in the United States. The first case was found in a person from San Francisco, California, who recently came back home from South Africa. This person is fully vaccinated against COVID-19 with two Moderna shots. Health officials say this person is a healthy adult, younger than 49 years old. Now they're in self-isolation dealing with mild COVID-19 symptoms. The U.S. is just the latest of more than 20 countries who have confirmed Omicron cases so far. And health officials are watching to see if Omicron becomes the dominant variant around the world soon. Remember, this new variant has mutations that make scientists worry it might be more contagious and less susceptible to vaccines. But it will still take some time before officials can know for sure. And while not everyone agrees with this method, the federal government is trying to slow the spread with new travel rules. The Biden administration already restricted travel from 8 African nations. And soon, President Biden is expected to announce tougher rules for other international travelers flying into the U.S. We'll likely hear about those changes and more later today, since the president is scheduled to talk about a COVID-19 fighting strategy for this winter. Well, COVID-19 is not the only virus officials are focused on. President Biden says he'll ramp up efforts to end the AIDS epidemic by the end of this decade. This comes after some critics knocked him for not moving fast enough on his earlier promises to fight HIV. Now, Biden says he wants to make sure everyone in the U.S. knows their HIV status and that everyone who is HIV positive can get high-quality care and treatment. The White House directed $2.2 billion to HIV primary medical care, medication, and essential support services. President Biden also brought back the White House Office of National AIDS Policy and promised the U.S. would release a new 5-year emergency plan next year. Biden says this strategy will address inequities since LGBTQ and Black Americans have faced the brunt of the epidemic. Overall, in the last 40 years, more than 36 million people around the world have died from AIDS-related illnesses, and about 38 million people are still living with HIV today. For the first time since a deadly shooting on the set of his movie Rust, Alec Baldwin answered questions about what happened. He told ABC News he did not pull the trigger, even though he was holding the gun. But the sheriff's department that's leading the investigation says Baldwin fired the gun. So at this point, it's not clear exactly what happened. What's for sure is that somehow the gun did go off, shooting and killing cinematographer Helena Hutchins. Baldwin also says he has no idea how a live bullet got inside the weapon, since that would not be allowed on set. Investigators are still working to figure that part out, too. So far, no one has been charged with a crime for that shooting, but a couple crew members did file lawsuits against Alec Baldwin, the other producers and other crew members. They say Baldwin should have checked the gun himself to see if it was safe. The actor's comments were shown in a preview for the full interview that's airing on ABC tonight. It's a move that seems to be unprecedented in global sports. The Women's Tennis Association, or WTA, is suspending all tournaments in China because of concerns over a player. Chinese tennis star Peng Shuai said she was sexually assaulted by a high-ranking Chinese government official. Soon after she posted about it online, the government took down her social media post and her account. Any media coverage about her has been censored in China. And in the last few weeks, she has not been seen in public except with government officials. Now, the WTA's president says he has serious doubts that Peng is free, safe, and not being censored because no one in the WTA has been able to get a hold of her. And he's demanding a full and transparent investigation. The International Olympic Committee did have a video call with her recently, and on that call, she asked for privacy. As of this morning, the Chinese government has not responded to the boycott. But news outlets say women's tennis stands to lose hundreds of millions of dollars in the coming years by pulling out of China. Major League Baseball players are officially locked out. This is MLB's version of a strike. It's the first lockout since 1994, and for now it means new player signings are on hold. Next week's annual winter meetings were canceled, and players have been banished from the team workout facilities and weight rooms. It could also impact ticket sales for next season. The issue mostly has to do with money. The players' union has been demanding change because the average player's salary has been going down while owner salaries have been going up. So players want to see higher minimum salaries, among other things. As for the owners, they want to expand the playoffs, add more limits on the length of player contracts, and more. Both sides had until midnight this morning to reach a deal, but since they could not come to terms, the lockout started. The MLB commissioner says he hopes it will jumpstart the negotiations and that the 2022 season will be able to start on time. But the union leader called the lockout, quote, drastic and unnecessary, and that it won't change players' positions. Now both sides have 11 weeks to come up with a deal. To be continued. More news is just ahead, but first, a quick break to thank our sponsor. Do you think you're getting all the nutrients you need in your diet? Research shows probably not. That's why I love knowing I'm supporting my health by taking Ritual vitamins every day, which, by the way, have research to back them up. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin, for example, was formulated by exhaustive research to help fill nutrient gaps in the diets of women ages 18 plus. And Ritual has a vitamin specifically designed for everyone, women, pregnant women, men, and even kids. I trust Ritual enough that I've been taking their vitamins so long that I've needed three different versions of it. I've taken the women's multivitamin, the prenatal vitamin, and now the postnatal vitamin. I love that I can trust the traceable, non-GMO, vegan-friendly ingredients as well. So whichever Ritual vitamin is right for you, try it. Because Ritual is offering the Newsworthy listeners 10% off your first 3 months. Just visit ritual.com/newsworthy and turn healthy habits into a ritual. That's 10% off at ritual.com/newsworthy. Democrat Stacey Abrams garnered national attention back in 2018 when she ran for governor of Georgia and just barely lost to Republican Governor Brian Kemp. Remember, we're talking about a state that had been a solid red for nearly two decades and only more recently became a swing state. Well, now Abrams is running for Georgia's top job again, and it'll surely be one of the most closely watched races of the 2022 midterm elections. If Abrams wins, she'd become the first Black woman to be a governor in the country. In her announcement on Twitter, Abrams says she's running for governor, quote, because opportunity in our state should not be determined by zip code, background, or access to power. But the Republican Governors Association is strongly supporting current Governor Kemp, saying he's shown courageous leadership while Abrams toured the country seeking fame and fortune. Kemp is already facing at least one other challenger first in the Republican primaries. Stay tuned. Planned Parenthood in Los Angeles has been hacked. Of course, Planned Parenthood is a reproductive health care provider, and the organization is now notifying 400,000 patients that their personal data may have been compromised. We're talking names, addresses, insurance information, and even clinical data, such as patients' diagnoses or procedures. The hacker apparently got access to the network, installed malware, and took some files, all back in October. Planned Parenthood Los Angeles now says it's hired a cybersecurity firm to help investigate and protect data moving forward. It's the largest U.S. bank to do this so far. Capital One says it's getting rid of all overdraft fees for its consumer bank customers. And the company says the move means losing about $150 million in revenue a year. Overdraft fees are typically about $25 to $35 per transaction that goes beyond the amount of money that's left in a customer's bank account. Capital One already offers what it calls overdraft protection, where it still pays the amount, but the customer does get charged extra. Now, Capital One says that protection will be free. Or for those who are not enrolled, the bank will just decline the transaction. Consumer advocates have been pushing for more banks to get rid of overdraft fees for a while, since the people who can least afford to pay them are often the ones who are charged these fees. More recently, there's also been added pressure from the growing popularity of digital banks with no-fee models. The change at Capital One is set to take effect early next year. Another big tech company is changing its name. The financial services company Square will now become Block. You probably know Square best by its payment processing tools, like the little white card reader many businesses use. Well, that payment platform itself will still be called Square, but the corporate company is now Block. The co-founder and CEO is Jack Dorsey. And yes, that's the same Jack Dorsey that co-founded Twitter and just stepped down as Twitter CEO earlier this week. The company says the new name acknowledges the company's growth. Block also owns the consumer payments and investing app Cash App, acquired the music streaming service Tidal, and started a financial services division focused on Bitcoin. Oh, and the part of the company that was Square Crypto is now rebranded to Spiral. People Magazine's 2021 People of the Year are Olympic gymnast Simone Biles, country music icon Dolly Parton, award-winning actor Sandra Oh, and the nation's teachers. People Magazine says the People of the Year all led the way in their fields to help make the world a little better. The magazine cited how Simone Biles has focused on mental health, saying she, quote, redefined what it means to win in sports. Dolly Parton donated $1 million to COVID-19 vaccine research. Sandra Oh fought anti-Asian hate and signed on to projects that showcase various perspectives and voices. And the nation's more than 3 million teachers showed resilience during the pandemic, ensuring kids have bright opportunities ahead. Well, that's it for the main news today. So now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday. And today we're talking about how health officials identify the different variants of COVID-19. But first, a quick break for our sponsor, Rad Power Bikes. When was the last time you got on a bike and actually wanted to go up a steep hill? You can with e-bikes. It's probably why you keep hearing about them. People who use Rad Power Bikes say it's completely transformed everyday life. Here's the best part. Because Rad Power Bikes is North America's largest maker of e-bikes, they have models that can get you biking again, even if it's been a long time. If you're wanting to buy a gift for someone who wants to get out more or just seems to have everything, then hit up radpowerbikes.com and check out their award-winning lineup of e-bikes. They're in stock and ready to ship. That's radpowerbikes.com. Now back to Thing to Know Thursday. You've heard us talk a lot about the different variants of COVID-19, like Alpha, Delta, and the newest one, Omicron. But the truth is, if you do get sick with COVID-19, the chances are you won't know which variant infected you. The reason? It's tough to know right away. And doctors don't think it's medically necessary since the treatment for COVID-19 is the same no matter what, at least for now. But it does matter for health departments to track the different variants so they can know how it's spreading, who's most impacted, and figure out what guidelines should be in place. So how is that done exactly? Well, there are a few dozen state public health labs that take positive COVID-19 tests and do full genetic sequencing on them. So far, the U.S. has not had the capacity to test every positive sample, but things have picked up a lot since the early days of the pandemic. This week, the CDC director says labs are now able to sequence about 80,000 specimens a week from all 50 states. Still, that only represents 1 out of every 7 positive tests. And several public health experts think it's not enough. The CDC says it's now leaning on states to do more. Well, thank you so much for listening today and for sharing the show. We'll be back with much more news tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.